This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
So we're talking about the greatness of God, something that is healthy for us to think about. We typically look at the world around us and we see the bigness of all of our problems. We see the madness of what's going on in the world. And we look at our faith and we see how small it really is. And nothing builds faith quite like looking at God and thinking about God and being exposed to truth about Him. In fact, that's exactly what it's meant to do. When we are immersing ourselves in the truth about who God is, not just what He's done, but who He is primarily, first and foremost, then you know what happens? All of a sudden, He, in our mind, just expands. You know, we're able to see. It's almost like going from just a regular lens to a wide-angle lens. You know how on your camera or your phone or whatever, it's got this wide-angle pan, you know, element to it, effect. And so when we do this with truth, it's like having a wide-angle lens. We can see over there to the right. We can see over there to the left. See in front of us. We can see so much more. It's like in the old movies that used to come out, you know, that had this new Panavision, you know, and all of a sudden it's widescreen. So that's what truth does to us. It helps us get a better vision of God straight from the scriptures. So last time we looked at God and His claim that He is great in creation. And we talked about a couple of things about that really helped us see the bigness of God. The second thing that Isaiah does is that he records about God's wisdom. And if we're talking about no one is greater than God in creation, now we're saying that no one is wiser than God is. No one is more wise than God. In Isaiah 40, verses 13 and 14, listen to this. It says, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as His counselor informed Him? With whom did He consult? And who gave Him understanding? And who taught Him in the path of justice and taught Him knowledge and informed Him of the way of understanding?" Obviously, those rhetorical questions, and the answer is no one. No one has ever informed God about any of these things. Now, I want you to consider a couple of what I call mind-melting realities about God's intelligence. Let's just talk about His intelligence for a second. Nobody gives God direction or tells Him what He can and cannot do. The height of human arrogance is to demand from God. The height of human ego is to tell God that His ideas are not good enough for us when we have limited intelligence, infinitely limited intelligence compared to God. God has never needed counsel or advice. No one instructs Him in wisdom. He doesn't have a teacher. No one can or could, because there's no one above Him. And it is reasonable to say that God possesses more knowledge than all of man's combined knowledge and wisdom. Think of all the data, all the knowledge that's on the internet, and all the libraries of the world, and all the people of the world, the greatest minds. Put them all together, and they don't even begin to compare to God's knowledge. God is beyond terabytes and gigabytes, and it's infinite. And we don't have a category for that because we can't go there in our minds. We can run in our minds, but we can't get to infinity in terms of God's knowledge. No amount of data could ever possibly match His. Now, theologians have found a way to describe this with a word. It's the word omniscience that comes from two words, omni meaning all, and science meaning knowledge. So omniscience is an attribute of God that refers to His infinite knowledge. It simply means it's without end, okay? He cannot be taught any new information, and He's known all of this knowledge from eternity past. He's always possessed knowledge of all facts, all figures, all reasons, all dates, all the future. He has always known every minute detail of history. At no point in eternity has God ever had a eureka experience or an aha experience or, oh, I didn't know that. No, he's never discovered anything that he did not previously know. God's vast knowledge extends, think about this, to the past, the present, and the future. And he even possesses all knowledge in the realm of possibility and the theoretical. In other words, God knows every what if and every contingency possible to mankind, to history, to world events, and even to your life. Have you ever wondered what it would be like if you'd have been born in another country or born of another race or in another time? Hey, God knows that. What if you had been awarded that athletic scholarship and you went on to play pro ball or you had been given a different set of skills? God knows what you would be like. He's already scoped that out. What about that life-changing event that happened to you when you were a child? How would your life be different today had it not occurred? What if you had fallen in love and eventually married someone other than the person that you married? God knew what your life would be like, but he chose this person. What if you'd been born to different parents? God sees that scenario right now. He knows it all. He has always known it from eternity past. His knowledge is both perfect and perpetual. It never ends. And that is why Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, the foolish mind doesn't recognize that his or her understanding and knowledge and wisdom is limited. We are self-deceived in our world today to think that we have some sort of innate knowledge and wisdom to know how we should do life. And this is why, by the way, it's a satanic lie, by the way. It's a lie that says, I know what's right for me. Okay? I know what's right for me. And if it kind of jives with my own preconceived thinking about who I am, hey, girl, do what's right for you. Follow your heart. Just what does your heart tell you? All those are satanic lies. See, the question is not, what do I know about my life and do I know me and that kind of stuff? Ultimately, the question is, what does God say about me? How does God know me? And watch this. How has God helped me to know me? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, we spend so much of our time studying other people and looking at other people and thinking about what other people should do. Instead of saying, okay, God, forget what I think about me. Because what I think about me is ultimately irrelevant because it's coming from a dead end already. It's coming from a fallen mind. You see, because our minds were affected by the fall of Adam and Eve. When sin entered the human race, a virus entered the human mind. And our minds became fallen. That's why it's so difficult for all of us to think about God for more than just a couple of minutes. And yet we can listen to music all day long. Or we can quote the words to a song verbatim that we knew when we were 10 years old, but we have trouble with Scripture and quoting Scripture. You see, our minds are bent. Our minds are like a car out of line. If you let go of the steering wheel, it's going to go over into the ditch. That's what our minds are like. We are prone to wander, as the psalmist or as the hymnist says, and prone to leave the God that we love because our minds don't work right, which is the very reason why Paul said we had to have to renew our minds with God's truth in Romans 12. So, yes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to have wisdom in your life, then begin by looking at God and reverencing Him and respecting Him and looking Him as the great sage of all that there is and the great repository of knowledge. He is the one that has all that we need in terms of information. And even Isaiah, who's writing these words, even those thoughts about God didn't originate with him. They were given to him as the divine revelation from heaven. So think about this for a second. Think about it in terms of your future for just a few minutes. You ever thought about what decision we're going to make regarding this or regarding this potential opportunity in the future or how to raise our kids? You know, how to respond in each situation? You see, God already knows the best and the most excellent way. And look at this. This is what's cool about this. This is what's great about wisdom. God not only has the facts and the knowledge, but He knows how to implement the knowledge into everyday life. And that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is simply taking the truth that God has revealed and implementing it into our lives in the best possible way. And wisdom is an art form that comes through lots of practice. And, you know, some of you say, well, I've just got natural common sense. I just naturally know what to do. You know, you might in some areas, but none of us do in all areas. I've known people that are some of the most commonsensical people in the whole world. I mean, man, they've just got a level head on their shoulders. You ever heard that expression? But they're the worst parents ever. Or they can't seem to have a decent marriage. You know why? It's because they're depending on themselves. Do you remember what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says? Listen to this. This is the wisest man who ever lived, by the way. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Wow. "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." So when we recognize God as the source of knowledge and of wisdom, then what happens? Then we realize, well, I got to go to Him then. I've got to constantly be connected to that source. And by the way, it doesn't come through just thinking about God. It comes through thinking God's thoughts that He's written in His Word about Him. Because as His Word transforms our thoughts and mind, then what happens is we begin to think His thoughts and we begin to apply godly solutions to our earthly human problems. And it gets even better, by the way. God not only knows the best and most excellent way that we should follow, but combined with His love for us, He has actually promised to guide us there. I mean, I love what Psalm 32:8 says. It says, "I will teach you and guide you. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." James 1:4 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom," tough luck. No, it doesn't say that. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give to you liberally." He'll give you the wisdom that we need in each circumstance. And sometimes that means consulting a wise person who does know God or does know God's word in a more rich or fuller way than you do. And that godly counsel. Proverbs tells us that in the multitude of counselors, there's victory. So sometimes we do that. But isn't this a great deal? We can have all the wisdom from God, and we know that He loves us. And because of that, we know that He has a perfect and wise plan for our life. That's why Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may demonstrate or prove what the will of God is." And what is the will of God? It's that which is good, that which is acceptable, and that which is perfect. The GAP, I call it the GAP principle. The good, acceptable, perfect will of God. How do you get it? By renewing your mind with the Word of God. That's how we get it. So God's like this infinitely wise online search engine, but it's inside of us as we are connected to Him through His Word. He's already surveyed billions of possibilities for our lives, and He's immediately drafted the best blueprint imaginable. His wise plan is perfect because it's based upon the greatest wisdom available. You say, wait a minute, Jeff, what if I blow it? What if I take a dirt road and I just go off on my own, seeking my own plan? And I've done that for maybe for months or perhaps even years. Maybe I made some really, really bad mistakes in my life. Guess what? Wisdom of God's still there, because the wisdom helps you know how to take the best route to get back to where you're going. You know, just like on your phone, you know, when you say, hey, how do I get to, and you'll get like two or three routes that your GPS will give you. But then there's the shortest route. And usually you take the shortest route because you want to get there as fast as possible, right? Well, that's what God does in his word. Okay, you're over here, out here in the wilderness. How do I get back to green pastures again? God tells us how to do that. And sometimes it's a process. I mean, sometimes it does take some time to get back to where you want to be. That's okay. Stay on the road. I mean, we don't have teleportation, right? We can't just like, you know, beam ourselves places. If you get lost, yeah, you're going to have to take a few roads to get back, but you'll get back. And God's wisdom gives us the way back on how to do that. And we need that kind of wisdom every single day. Listen to these verses from Romans chapter 11. Paul has just spent three chapters in the deep end of the pool, taking you places in Romans 9 through 11 that are just unfathomable. And so you're coming up from this deep sea experience with God's knowledge and plan and wisdom and sovereignty and all this stuff. And he concludes this way. He says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who became his counselor? Or who is first given back to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. You see what Paul's doing there? He's helping us understand that we're never going to touch bottom of God's knowledge and wisdom, but that God has got this whole thing already taken care of for us if we will just avail ourselves of that. And when we realize that he is this kind of God that is great in this infinite wisdom, the very next verse, and by the way, the Bible was not originally divided into chapters. Romans is a letter, and there wasn't like chapter 12, verse 1. We did that later on, okay? So watch this. The very next thought Paul says here, he says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It just makes sense. That's what Paul's saying. It makes sense for us to completely throw ourselves at God's feet and to say, I know nothing. You know everything. Therefore, I want you to teach me. I want to have some of the knowledge and the wisdom that you have. And the great thing about it is God says, you can. You can totally know that. And I guess, you know, with a final point of application would just simply be this, in terms of God being great in wisdom, is that you and I cannot add one single thing that would in any way enhance God's plan for us. I mean, whatever we contribute is only going to mess it up. It'd be like if you couldn't play in any musical instrument and you were suddenly put in a band, and then you just start banging on the piano or just wailing on the guitar, you're just going to screw things up. You're just going to mess the song up. And God is saying, hey, let me show you how to play this thing. And so when God is our teacher, then we realize we don't need to give him our suggestions. It's only going to damage or detract from the beautiful plan that God has. You know what? God's wisdom is so great that we're going to spend our whole lives just bathing in it, just absorbing it and applying it to every single area of our lives. So God says he is great in creation. He is great in wisdom. And next time, we're going to tackle another topic where God just, I mean, it's like, you think that's something? Wow, we're about to hit the stratosphere here with this next attribute of God that he talks about concerning himself. So I hope you join me on the next Vintage Truth Podcast. Have a great week. God bless you. And make sure you avail yourself of the great wisdom of your God.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.